the manifester of intelligence and the senses, and he is perceived as the super soul of everything. Without him, everything would be dead. You, as that super soul, the supreme controller, are the only one remaining. Purport. The words sarva vastuni, vastu sarupa, indicate that the Supreme Lord is the active principle of everything, as described in the Brahma Samhita 5.35. Eko pyasau rachayitum jagaranda kotim, yachchakshirasti jagaranda chayayiranta, andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam, govinda maripurusham tamahang pachami. I worship the personality of Godhead, Govinda, who enters the existence of every universe and every atom by one of his plenary portions, and thus manifests his infinite energy throughout the material creation. By his one plenary portion as Paramatma, Antayami, the Lord is all-pervading throughout the unlimited universes. He is the Pratyak, or Antayami, of all living entities. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetragyam chapimam viti sarava kshetreshu bharata. O Skyan of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower of all body, in all bodies. Because the Lord is the super soul, he is the active principle of every living entity, and even the atom. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. He is the actual reality. According to various stages of intelligence, one realizes the presence of the Supreme in everything through the manifestation of his energy. The entire world is permeated by the three gunas, and one can understand his presence according to one's modes of material nature. So the Lord is, how do I say, basically the principle is that he is the existence of everything. So it's not that the material energy is a separate energy. It's a separated energy, but it's Krishna's energy. It functions by Krishna's potency. Because it being dead matter, it does not do anything. So it's by the Lord, with the influence of his internal potency, then that transformation of that internal potency, that becomes the active principle in the external. So the Lord himself is reflected into the material energy. Right? So just like you have a pond, then whatever's on the bank is reflected inside. So that's why everything here has the forms and shapes and activities like we would see in reality in the spiritual world. But being a reflection, they don't carry the same potency, the same facility. Like the tree in the water looks like a tree, but it doesn't actually, you can't get the benefit of the fruits and the flowers and the bark and the shade and all those different things. So that, but that potency, that it moves like a tree, deals like a tree, and we get that effect as if it's a tree, that's coming from Krishna himself. Now, what we will see in this, because as the supersoul, as the universal form, he's pervading everything, and the cause, how everything functions. But what we're going to see is based on our desire, right? So according to the modes of nature that we are under, which is according to our desire, that's what aspect of the material energy we're going to see, both from where we're situated. So what actual external facilities we see, what we experience, but also what modes of nature, and therefore what intelligence we have, so what perception we see of the Lord. So whether we just see him on the platform of the senses and mechanical knowledge, like the scientists or the animals or the worshippers of Shakti, like the Kali worshippers, or we elevate ourselves up to the, or you could say is, undeveloped human beings. Or we come up to the platform of more sophistication, where we introduce a semblance of morality and ethics so that there's economic development as a group. Because as a group, we can develop more than as an individual, right? If I'm committed to sense gratification, I work on my own, I'll get something by my endeavor. But if we all work together for sense gratification, then we can get more, right? So that's the second platform. And so there we have a sense of morality, but it's still atheistic because it's based on sense gratification. Then as the modes go up again, we add some goodness to it. Still you have passion. Your first one is ignorance. Then you have passion and ignorance. Now you have some goodness. Now you're going to add into it the aspect of, or I say goodness and passion, yes, that you're going to add into it that there's laws of nature. And if we follow those laws, then things will go well for us. So we accept that there's a supreme. So our morality then takes on the theistic aspect. Because otherwise, before that, our morality was atheistic, like in the modern society, right? You're being good, you're being nice, because it's good for the state, it's good for the community. It's not as good for God, or good for our relationship with God. You understand the difference? So it's the same qualities, the same superior qualities, but it's whether it's connected to the Lord or whether it's not connected to the Lord. If it's just a social development, it's atheistic. Right? Because it doesn't include the Lord. Simple. It includes the Lord, that it's His laws, His position. Then it takes on that higher nature. So then we're following the laws of nature. It has that theistic element. Then, from there, if we add, take the passion out, just leave the goodness, then we'll get the platform where we understand the soul, we understand the spirit, we understand how the Lord pervades everything, like what is being discussed here. This position here. Then they're bringing out that aspect. So you can see the soul, the Lord, His energy is how it's all working. That, of course, is the Vaishnava perspective. The impersonalists will only see the Brahman aspect. They don't see beyond. But it situates one beyond the material energy. It means you're still part of the Mahatattva, the material phenomena, because you have an accepted devotion to the Lord, but you're not confined by the modes of nature within the universe. You can get beyond it. You won't get beyond the material manifestation as the Mahatattva, but you can get out of the universe. But then when you come to the last stage, which is pure goodness, then that being based on devotion to the Supreme, that in that state, then we can come to the point of actually getting free from the being involved in the Mahatattva and go back to the spiritual world in a relationship with the Supreme Lord, because it's based on that personal relationship. So the demigods are pointing out is that He's this intelligence, right? Whatever it is, we want to know the Lord, we think it's yes by my intelligence, but what we forget is that Him being everything, He's also the intelligence in which we're trying to perceive Him. So unless we have the desire for that pure devotion, then we won't see Him as a person. We'll see Him on any of these other four levels of consciousness. Right? And these are the five levels of consciousness. Bhakti, this platform of liberation, the soul, the platform of Dharma, and, you know, properly connecting, you know, fitting properly into the universe, or the social consideration, economic consideration, extended sense gratification, or sense gratification, right? So that's there. And even in sense gratification, we do have to give credit. Some are more gross, some are more sophisticated. One does have to get, whether they cooperate more on a grander social level or not, there is the more sophisticated. So you'll have someone who'll be more towards tribal, aboriginal kind of thing, and you'll have those who are a bit more sophisticated, right? It means they're both sitting out in the jungle, right? One lives there, the other one's visiting with his friends. He brings out his tea table, and at 4 o'clock with his pith helmet on, he sits down and has tea. Same jungle, just one's more sophisticated than the other, that's all. Okay, so you do have these ranges. So these come from the Lord Himself. So it's by the Lord's grace, then we move up through the levels of consciousness. Otherwise, then what will happen is we'll tend to go down. Whatever platform we're on, the tendency is always to go down. So that's why the demigods are praying to Him, because He is actually the cause of everything. He's the life in everything. He's actually what makes everything function. Right? This is the reality. Now, at the end of this, of course, they're going to want to be saved from Vritrasura. So this high level of consciousness, they're devotees, they're turning to the Lord. That's what makes them suras, or demigods. Is that there's a problem, there's this big demon, and they're turning to the Lord. Because the demons is a big problem, they just make a new plan. The Lord doesn't feature. So they've done that, but still it's about removing the obstacles in their material path. Right? They're going to be performing their duties for Krishna, so yes, that's there. That's good. So they've turned to the Lord, that's auspicious, that's glorious. But the point is the element of the level of pure devotion hasn't developed yet. As we'll see, the comparison between these demigods and Vritrasura, who is a pure devotee. Even though he's playing the role of a demon, he's the pure devotee. And the demigods, though they are, managing the universe on the Lord's behalf, they're not seeing it from the platform of pure devotion. They're quite comfortable with their material facilities. Right? They're quite comfortable in that. Does this make sense? So, Vritrasura is in a, you could say, less ideal situation, but he's engaging it in the Lord's service, fully. While Indra's in a more ideal situation, but he doesn't fully engage it in the Lord's service. He still maintains his own pride and everything that he's, you know, he's the doer. Even though they have this knowledge, that's the point to understand, is that's how it shows with their devotees. They have this knowledge. They know the reality. They're turning to the Lord, but still they maintain the material desire that they simply want the Lord to remove the immediate problems. I mean, of course, ultimately they want to come back to the spiritual world, but that's ultimately not today, right? You know, that's it, you know, that's tomorrow. Today, you know, just get rid of this problem so we can go on and everything goes nicely. So that's where we see what Bhagavatam is doing, is comparing these positions of non-devotional service, mixed devotional service, pure devotional service, so we can actually see the difference and we can apply it in our own life. That's the whole purpose of the Paramahamsa Samhita, is how that we can all come to this platform of Paramahamsa, right? Whatever situation we're in. Because if Vritrasura can be a demon and use that in the Lord's service, then surely we can engage whatever situation we're in the Lord's service, right? But it's a matter of how we identify as the servant, how we see our activities connected to the Lord, right? So then here, the demigods are pointing this out, so it's very beneficial for us to understand this, because if we see that everything is this mixture of matter and spirit, then we're able to discern how things work. Because generally we take it that, okay, I have matter. I have something, I'm doing something. Let's say I'm a bit upset, so I don't put the thing down nicely. I kind of like toss it a bit. Now, why would I toss it? Right? I'm angry. I tossed it. It's my thing. Okay? So right here we see is that this verse solves that problem. But we're not seeing it in this way. So we think that this is just matter. There's no spirit involved. But why do I have that item in the first place? Why do I have that whatever it is? Because it does a particular function. Why would it do a function? Dead matter doesn't do functions. Right? Dead matter's functioning because the Lord's entered it. So this matter and spirit, I'm dealing with the Lord. So the reason that I have something, let's say, I don't know, we have a phone or something, and I throw it down. But why does it function as a phone? It's dead matter, because the Lord has entered it. He's entered it as the element of communication of like this. That potency is His. So we're throwing the phone down. We're not throwing dead matter down. So the phone is Krishna. So actually, that's why then it's not appreciated. It doesn't work properly. You deal properly, it breaks. People think, you know, this is rash. You afterwards feel, why was I behaving like that? Because we're actually dealing with the Lord. But because we think it's matter, we think I can do what I like. But if we understand it's matter and spirit, which everything is, then we would be careful how we deal, because then the Lord is there. And then when you're dealing with a person or living entity, even more, because then you have the material energy, the Lord, and a jiva. So you have two aspects of spirit and matter. So then we're even more careful. That's where the etiquette comes in. So even when we're dealing with dead matter, we follow etiquette. And let alone when you're dealing with a living entity. So this solves this problem. And then the point of why am I angry? I'm angry because I think I'm the controller, I'm the doer. But actually Krishna is the cause. So I have to apply myself. How am I supposed to function in this? Things aren't going well, why not? You know, what is the plan? How am I the instrument? How to be the proper instrument? Because the point is by throwing down the phone, do I accomplish anything? The problem goes away. If that did, there'd probably hardly be any problems in the world. People throw things all the time, you know? You know, everything would just go away. Right? But it doesn't. So the whole point is then this anger doesn't make anything better. It only makes it worse. Because then facilities we had, we lose. So this is the point that's being given here, that was originally given before by Kapila Muni in Shankhya Yoga, is that the ability to understand the, ability to understand how everything being a mixture of matter and spirit, that therefore we're dealing with something much greater than what we take it at face value. Because we're not the owners, we're not the controllers, we're not the doers. Technically, we're not even the friend. Right? Krishna's the friend. Right? We think, I'll benefit everybody, I'll do something, I'll make everybody happy. But it's actually Krishna's potency that's functioning in the matter that we're working with that people become happy. Right? Because if you follow the rules properly, Krishna's happy, therefore your endeavor makes others happy. And we think, yes, I'm the friend. But actually it's Krishna. So when we see that I'm the servant, then everything starts to work very nicely. Then we take part in the Lord's activities with the proper attitude, and then we don't have any difficulty. But if we don't do this, then we're caught up by the modes of nature, and the modes of nature always have something interesting in store for us. Just when we think, you know, we understood or we've seen everything, the modes have something new, right? Okay. Any questions or comments on this? Yes. So a funny little microphone.
So we try to engage our attachments in the service to the Lord.
Okay.
But Krishna, he prefers certain things which we engage.
He prefers certain things.
Yes, against the others, or how to say, the quality of the things in the mode of goodness.
Yes.
So, but often there is like objection because we are too attached to the lower modes, so there is like objection to use those better things for Krishna.
We object to using the better things because we're attached to inferior things.
How to deal with this?
How to deal with this? The point is that, see, there's mixed devotional service means where it's a mix between Krishna's preference and our preference. Because, see, the items in the mode of goodness, these are secondary anyway. Because the primary aspect is the attitude of devotion in which we're engaging it in the Lord's service. For the Lord, that's the main thing. Right? So if it's engaged in the Lord's service to please Him, that's what He's looking for. Now, naturally, if it's to please Him, I would use items that He would be pleased with. Right? You know, it's just like I have the 40-year-old successful lawyer. I don't give him, you know, a tricycle for a 3-year-old on his birthday, seeing that he lives with his mom and is not married and has no kids. Right? I give him a Ferrari. That he'll like. You know what I'm saying? So naturally, you give things according to the individual. Right? So so the main thing is that devotion that we're engaging in Krishna's service, but we tend to engage what we are interested in. That's the mixed part. But if we keep doing that, the power of the devotion itself will purify our heart, where then we will start to use better quality things anyway if they're available, right? Because the point is we're trying to serve the Lord, so we serve Him with whatever is available. And naturally, if there's a choice, we'll choose what's better. So the difference will be if something better is available, but I don't take it because I prefer something of lesser quality. That won't be so as great, right? And if there's something greater available and I choose that over something lesser to please Krishna, that's better. But if something better is not available, only something lesser is available, then I will use that in Krishna's service with the same devotion. Because for Krishna, it's about the devotion. And then the secondary attributes on the expression of the devotion, you'll choose the best you can according to your realization. Right? So one should leave that once, in other words, it has to be okay that you're using whatever's in your position, but to make that okay, you don't put the emphasis on the secondary and say that this is fine, it's all about the devotion. Because the point is, as we become purified, those things won't be so important to us anymore. Right? Does that make sense? That's on the position that we could choose superior over inferior, but we're not due to our own attachments. Right? You understand? And we've dealt with choosing an inferior because the superior is not available. Okay? Now you have the aspect of what is your nature? Right? What is your conditioning? So that's going to define what items you're going to use anyway. Right? The brahmachari is going to engage one set of facilities in the Lord's service. A grihastha is going to engage a different set. Vanaprastha, again, different. Right? Sannyas, different. Right? So if you're functioning within the category of your duties, right, then that's considered the proper field. Then from that field, now according to one's advancement, you choose the better or lesser depending upon your knowledge and detachment or your own material attachment. Does that make sense? So you have to see all these aspects, because otherwise if you just take one, it won't work. You have to know them all. They're the same thing, they're just different aspects of one thing. Right? Engaging everything in the Lord's service. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, because it's fluid, the whole process of devotional service means you're taking something that's, you know, found underneath a rock somewhere and elevating it to the platform of eternal associate of the Lord, there has to be the ability to change. Therefore, we should be very careful never to overemphasize the secondary as fine so that we're comfortable using it. Because if we do that, then the problem is we're going to say, yes, okay, I'm attached, I'm using this in Krishna's service, what's the problem? You should leave me alone because I'm doing my best, I am this is my conditioning, I'm using this. Okay, fine, fair enough, I leave you alone. But the problem is such a person will never leave anybody else alone. Because it's all about the secondary, therefore if you're using the higher quality of things, they'll say, oh, this is artificial, oh, this is this, oh, this is not possible, this is Kali Yuga, this is the modern world, this is that, and on and on and on and on and on and on. Hence, global warming. Right? So, this is the difficulty, is that because the focus is on the secondary, it's not even a strong position devotionally, even though it's being claimed, oh no, we're in a strong position because I'm engaging, I'm being honest. Honest means what? Honest means I'm the body? I'm the conditioning? Or honest means I'm the soul? We have to actually know what knowledge and honesty is. That's the problem. Terms are bantered about. If I honest on the platform, which level am I honest? Honest on the platform of the senses, I want my senses and the sense objects to contact. I make my effort. I'm being honest. Like the dog, it sees something, it goes for it. That's honest. Right? You know, then you have the man, the social, he uses these terms, truth, you know, liberty, fraternity, equity, all these different things. But for what? Simply so he can get a better quality of sense gratification if he went out there like the hogs and dogs and did it himself. So it's honest that, yes, I have this lower level of consciousness and I'm going for it. But it doesn't take on real, I mean, the semblance of truth until you get to the next level of consciousness, the third level, which means you accept the laws of nature. You accept my conditioning has a nature. And therefore, it has laws that govern the nature. It's not whimsical up to me that I do whatever I want. If I want to do what I want, that's for the second and first level. If you're willing to follow higher authority, that's the third level of consciousness. If you don't like authority, you have authority issues, then you'll have to be satisfied with the first two. Because from the third level, then we accept authority. And not just whimsically here and there, we accept the principle of authority. Because now we start to deal on principles because they're connected to the Lord and the rituals that express them. Well, before that, the connection between my ideals and what I do is not connected. It just sounds good. You know what I'm saying? People have speech writers. They know how to get the effect. But there's no connection between what you do and what you say. You understand? It just makes people feel good. That's why it's called politics, right? Then the fourth level, now we're really starting to talk about more about truth, right? It's because now we're talking about the soul. Right? And how the Lord enters this point that's made here, how the Lord enters everything, how he's the super soul and everything and like that. Now we're talking about some serious truth here. But it doesn't actually become truth until it gets to the fifth level where it's about Krishna's desire, not ours. In other words, I exercise my independence by using my independence to serve Krishna. That's freedom. But if I whimsically use my independence, I'm bound by the modes of nature. Does that make sense? In other words, I'm saying that, no, I'm just using this, I have this conditioning, I'm doing this. That's the modes of nature speaking. So even if it sounds good, you even don't get the credit for that. It's the modes of nature. People have said this in the past. This is nothing new. Right? In the Vedas, everybody's saying this. Daksha's saying this. Right? Daksha's saying this. So that's the thing. Daksha's philosophy is for the person who thinks he is his conditioning. You know? So if you like goat heads, hey, go for it. You know? But if you actually want the absolute truth, that's a different thing. So what the level of truth, right? Senses, sense object is truth. Right? Like that. Pig, pile of garbage, that's truth. But there's four levels that are higher than that in truth. It's just what level of truth you want. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, like that, then when we approach it from the aspect that it's the Lord, and that reminds us of the Lord as how he's pervaded everything, and then we see through his energies, and then we see the Lord himself as a person, and what will please him. Then we try to get that balance. So I know I'm attached like this. I know this is the proper thing. But right now I can do this. That's honest. But to say, no, this is perfect. This is fine. Anything else is cheating. That's the worst kind of cheating. In fact, it's 100 times worse than just a sense gratifier. Right? A dog's a dog. But if you sit in one of those French cafes with the little beret and drinking your espresso and then you're making a philosophy how hedonism is perfectly fine, that's 100 times worse than the dog. You understand? Materialism, that you do it, that's our conditioning. That you profess it, that's 100 times worse. And I'm not making up that number, that's Shastra. Understand? So, due to false ego, we should not try to justify our position as a philosophy. We justify our position that this is the state of consciousness I'm at, and this is what I can do connected to Krishna, so kindly be merciful and, you know, don't bother us. That's fine. That's honest. Right? And generally Vaishnavas don't push that someone has to speak like that. But you only have to speak like that because people push. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Otherwise, everybody functions at their own level. Like you see down like behind the Panchatattva, there's an old painting. It's a copy of an old painting of Kirtan, the Panchatattva. And you see everybody in there. People with shaved heads in saffron, shaved heads in white clothes, long hair and fancy outfits and, you know, things like that. You see these old pictures. You have people with very nice, well-combed, well-oiled hair, nice, you know, silks with colors and borders and jewelry, but they're all out doing Harinam. So nobody cares. That's the consistent state you're at. You're grihastha, you're well-to-do, you're in this facility, you're socially, you know, doing well. You dress in one way. The renunciate dress is not, but it's all about chanting the holy name. So yes, it doesn't matter. But that doesn't matter means you don't have to make up a philosophy. The philosophy is already complete. But if I'm on a lower level and I don't want to be seen on a lower level, then I'll try to bolster my position and try to make it's just as good. But that's impersonalism. That's Mayavad. There's no distinction. We can't distinguish between qualities within spirit, qualities within matter. We're saying it's all the same. So then if it's all the same, why don't we wear an outfit like Papua New Guinea or something? You know, right? The mud men, they got this big, huge mud mask that they walk around with, you know? I mean, people have masks anyway today. Everyone's got the crocodile smiles and all. So you might as well let everyone know you have one. You know, why let that keep them guessing? Wouldn't that be more honest? You know, the mud man walks down the street. You know he's a mud man, right? The other person walking, you don't know what you're dealing with. He may be a nice guy, maybe a snake. You can't tell. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. So, where's the honesty? Honesty is that contemplating, I'm at this position in devotional service, and I engage that in Krishna's service, but naturally with time, as knowledge and detachment come, unnecessary aspects of my detachment will go away. But those things that are related to my duty will remain. Just like, let's say, a grihastha becomes advanced in knowledge and detachment. He doesn't give up his house. That comes later when it's time for vanaprastha. He may give up unnecessary things in his house that he doesn't need. There may be so many gizmos and gadgets and this and that. They're unnecessary. They're according to attachment. That will go. But the house, the family, the economics, the, you know, the program that they follow, that will go away. That will stay. The unnecessary, because that's duty. That's what I said before, it's duty. And now within that, they may start to offer things that are more in line. What would Krishna like? Does that make sense? So you have to have that dynamic. And then that realization is there, then vanaprastha will be very easy. Once the duties are over, kids are grown up, and then vanaprastha will be very easy. Because you already have the realization rather than starting then and struggling with it. Right? So then one simplifies one's life, one needs very little of this, and then one goes on. You know what I'm saying? Because the conditioning is there, so this conditioning, what does it require? Right? Does that make sense? Is that okay?
Thank you for a very complete explanation.
Okay. Something else? Yes.
Like this, so in a verse like this, there's indications that the Lord is equally everywhere.
Yes.
So, at least for me, I have a tendency to think the Lord is more in holy places, more in the deity, more in the holy name, more in the Bhagavatam. That's where the Lord is.
Right.
But when I get away from those things, and I go out into the regular world,
right,
then God disappears really quickly. Uh-huh. So the question is how does one, I mean, when one is in a traffic jam in Delhi, how does one see that's God, that God is equally present there as when he's on the altar when you're looking at him on the altar at Mayapur, because they seem so terribly contradictory, and one seems very easy, and the other one seems like, you know, very difficult. So,
what to do? First thing in the traffic jam in Delhi, I would recommend roll up the window, turn on the AC. Then one can start, things start to look better from that moment. That's the... That.
Sense gratification makes it better? What?
No, it just means, you know, like Prabhupada said, cool head, warm legs, you know, so then you can think better, right, you know. So you have the direct and indirect. So in the Dham, in the deity, the holy name, Prasad, Krishna's directly there whether we perceive him or not. Everything else, he's indirectly there. It means he's there, but we can also not see him there. And if we don't see him, we don't get the benefit of seeing him. Like, someone comes to the Dham, they don't know anything about Krishna consciousness, they get the benefit. They come into the temple, they hear the kirtan, they see the deities, they take Krishna. They get all the spiritual benefit, even though they don't know what's going on, because this is all direct. Indirect means the Lord is there, but if you don't see him, you don't get the benefit. So what the demigods are pointing out here is how indirectly we can see the Lord in all the indirect aspects. So that's why you'll see is that when you're in one situation, it's more natural to be Krishna, and the other is not, because in the one, whether you make the endeavor or not, there'll be benefit. In the other one, you have to make the endeavor, right? So the formula given by Kapila Muni is that the Lord is in everything through his energies. He's reflected in his energies, right? Then that reminds us of the Lord that's reflected. So then we remember the person. Like that. So it's just like, let's say, the material world is a place of disturbance. That's his potency. So the Lord's, that's his power that the traffic jam is there. Otherwise, how do you make a traffic jam, right? Anybody with half a brain would not do that. So there has to be a potency there, right? Once I went, I was going, walking down Lal Bazaar, right? And there's this one block, it's double block long. You know, normally they're all one block long. This is double. And it's a narrow street, only two lanes, right? No parking at all. And the fun part was, is as I'm walking down, I'm thinking it's a one-way street. Because cars on both sides of the street are going one way. But they're stopped. So I think, oh, there must be, you know, something at Lal Bazaar, the crossing, and some, you know, slow down, this and that. As I get halfway down the street, the cars are all double lane pointing the other way. How that happens? And the amazing thing is how they even got out of it. I have no idea. So that's the Lord's potency, that they could do that, and also that somehow or another they could get out of it. So that was, still to this day I'm thinking, how did they get out of that jam, right? Because this wasn't just a couple of cars. This was like, you know, 20 cars on each side. You know, it's like, you know, insane. So the Lord's potency is there that makes everything function. The modes work. So the modes do the things that they do. That's the Lord's potency. So it's just amazing how it happens. And so our business is, whatever the situation, how can we serve the Lord? So it's not about the situation itself. That's the secondary. The primary is, I'm serving the Lord. And ideally, we want the secondary to go smoothly. But even if it doesn't, the primary can go on. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Whether I have an ideal situation or not, I can still fully express my devotion. But because we're conditioned to thinking the secondary is the real viewpoint, right? Right? Because that's how the real world works. It's all on what you see, right? What's the external? Therefore, then, when obstacles come in our devotion, then we see that the devotion itself is hindered, when actually the devotion isn't, just the medium we're using is hindered. So now it's a matter, do we continue with that with determination, or our determination is to find other avenues, or is it just a sign from Krishna that maybe that's not my, since it's not my duty and I'm making that endeavor, maybe Krishna's telling me, don't get involved. Right? You know, so you just have to judge by the circumstances what is there. But otherwise, the material nature is designed that there'll be obstacles, right? Because we may think, no, but the obstacles are bad. But anything that we consider fun is about an obstacle that we are able to overcome, right? You have a game, right? So you have one team and you have another team. They have this funny little ball that they got to get this through this funny little thing down to the other end of the field, right? That's a long way away. And, you know, so easy enough. You have how many people on the team like that? And so that should be easy. 10 people should be able to get a ball through that little thing down at the end, right? Even if they don't cooperate, they should be able to get it through there. Right, you could even just, the guy who's got the ball, the other guys pick him up, throw him through there, right? You know, something's going to happen. But what makes it, but is that fun, right? People are going to show up, 100,000 people sitting in a stadium there in Brazil in the heat, they're going to sit there through that? No, it's because there's another 10 people that don't want you to get the ball through that little thing. And now we call it fun. Right? You know, that's the thing. You just, there's you, you're sitting very comfortably, you know, in your place like that, the heat's there, something to eat, something to drink. But you, for fun, you go out and try to situate yourself in another place that's very hard to get to, like the top of a mountain. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is the obstacle moving through. It's only when we get frustrated in moving, then we feel that something's wrong. But otherwise, the obstacles themselves are what gives the taste. So, because there's a primary element, if I stay inspired, then the obstacles don't bother me. But if I lose that inspiration, then I feel like that. So the same way is if the devotion stays, no matter what the situation, then that inspiration, we'll find our way around it. We'll be able to see Krishna, we'll be able to deal. But if we lose that primary, then of course we're going to be, you know, feel in an unfortunate situation. So, work? Okay.
So when a pure devotee, when he casts his glance at the world, is there anywhere where he feels this is more Krishna and this is less Krishna? Or is it all equally Krishna, no matter where he's glancing and no matter what he's glancing at?
No, the point is this: Krishna is manifest in everything through his potencies. So depending on what it is, there's more potency or less potency. You know, just like, let's say, this camera is here. It's held up by the tripod, right? Which works on basically a pillar, right? Because it's freestanding, you have to have three, this, that, blah. Now, there's this, but to hold up the camera, there has to be a certain amount of strength there, right? I can't just put any camera on there. Right? You know, like one of these IMAX cameras or something. Like, you know, I have to put something small. So it has a certain amount of Krishna's potency of strength. But let's see these columns here. Now that has a lot of strength. So there's how much, what variety, what combinations. So it's unlimited like that. So the point is Krishna's in everything, but there's variety. How much is there? What is there? What quality is there? And that will also be according to the individual. So one person thinks this situation is great. Like someone comes out, you know, they're driving down the road and it's very beautiful. They do a corner, you know, they come around a corner and there's kind of a, you know, it's on a hill, there's a cliff, there's a view. They might stop the car, have a look. Someone else just thinks this is so boring. When are they going to get to the city? Right? Because one sees the energy of the Lord in one way, the other sees the energy in a different. So that's the modes that you'll appreciate. So basically everyone, what you see is according to your conditioning. You don't see things that aren't your conditioning. So you only have to worry about what you see, right? And the unlimited things in the world, you only have to worry about seeing things in connection to Krishna that you actually see. If you don't see it, don't worry about it, right? Does that make sense? If it's your duty to see, then of course you'll practice in that. But if it's outside your duty, why worry about it? You know, it's just like, let's say the guy in the office, he comes in, sits down in his cubicle, does his work, and leaves. Right? He doesn't see how the overall business is run, because it's not his job. But the guy who owns the company or the managers, they have to see that. They don't see what goes on in the cubicle. You know, they know what's supposed to come out of it, but they don't know that, you know, the pencil sharpener broke, so he can't sharpen his pencil, and this and that, and this key sticks on there because he has to push it all the time, and it's really annoying. He has to push it three times to get it to one-time register. You know what I'm saying? So people see what is within their capacity. So then every pure devotee, being an individual, may see different aspects. That's why when you see prayers, they're all from different aspects. Someone's praying from this side, someone's praying from that side. Like that, yeah? Okay. So, okay, we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.